facebook.com/StageTheLetterNStudio or tweet us at StageTheLetterNStudio. Sitting in for D. Mae Roberts, I'm Sarika Mehta. Thanks for listening.
Thank you to all of our new and renewing members during our winter membership drive. That makes KBOO one of the best community radio stations in the country. We fell a few thousand short of our goal of 55,000, so if you didn't have a chance to give, it's never too late. Remember, for the month of December, if you become a new member or if you increase your giving over last year, your gift will be matched by a number of local businesses and individual donors. Donate now at kboo.fm/give. Thank you once again for being the best supporters a station could ever ask for.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud sponsor of the We Real Cool film series at the Clinton Street Theater. The film this month is Ornette, Made in America, showing Thursday, December 17th at 7 p.m. Released in 1985, Ornette, Made in America, explores the rhythms, images, and myths of America seen through the eyes of an Ornette Coleman's imagination and artistic evolution over three decades. Again, that's Ornette, Made in America, Thursday, December 17th, 7 p.m. at the Clinton Street Theater, 2522 Southeast Clinton Street in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
Tune in Tuesday nights from 8 to 10 p.m. for The Melting Pot, featuring DJs, producers, and electronic artists from around the globe. Win tickets and stay up on events each and every Tuesday from 8 to 10 p.m. on The Melting Pot, right here at 90.7 FM KBOO.
The music playing is Intercenter Dub by DJ Mad from Portland label Zam Zam Sounds. I'm Andre Middleton and this is Art Focus Radio on KBOO. I'll be hosting Art Focus on Tuesday mornings from 11 to 30 to noon on a bi-weekly basis, alternating with the great Joseph Galvan. Thank you for joining us. Today, my guest is Marka Jacobson of Marka Jacobson Photography and Brushfire Creative. Photographer, mom, artist, blogger. All in all, she's Margaret. She likes to photograph people and all that comes with that, the heart, the soul, the spirit of a person. She tries to capture that because it's unique for every individual. She likes to showcase what makes you, you. Your story. That's her favorite part about being a photographer, getting to know you and where you come from and where you're going. Good morning, Margaret.
Good morning.
Good morning. And we have an extra special guest with us today. Can I get a shout out from Maya?
Hi.
How you doing, girl?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm so glad you're here. So glad
you're
here.
Thank you for having me.
So, Margaret, why photography?
Oh, goodness. I think I really liked photography because it was such an easy way to express things that I saw. And I think that the beautiful thing about photography is I think everyone can do it. And everyone has such a different way of looking at the world or looking at things. And photography is the thing that kind of translates that. And so I always wanted to just work with like black and white film. I like things that are really moody and really moving, things that are deep and really intimate. And I kind of just fell into digital photography as a way to practice and try it out. And it was a lot more fun than I think I thought it would be. My original mediums were sketching and like writing. That was kind of the first art I did. And then photography was kind of a thing. I was like, oh, I'll do this on the side as a hobby. And then it kind of grew into more where I was like, oh, I can tell stories by photographing, you know, doing these portraits and just kind of getting the shot, the ones, you know, just from like a waist up of someone's like face, and it can tell so much. And I was like, wow, I didn't realize how powerful it could be. So it's kind of how I fell into it.
Nice. What format do you shoot in? And as technology has advanced, what format do you miss?
So I think that when I started, I was kind of in that in-between place of like, I think they were still teaching film in schools, but I definitely, I just used digital. And I've always just shot with like a DSLR, which is just, you know, a digital camera, and it's has a normal sensor compared to like a crop sensor. So not quite medium format, which is like a film term. And that's kind of what I really wanted to get into. But then I have stayed with digital. But I don't think I've really grown with it as much as I think like some people. I kind of have kept it pretty simple. I found what I liked. I found the lenses that I liked, and that's kind of what I'm sticking with. And I'm like slowly dipping my toe into film.
That describes me in Photoshop, you know? I got one filter, I got one brush.
Yeah. No, but like if you find the thing that works for you that you like, you don't need to mess with it.
Right.
And I think that like I had an experience where I was part of something where I was with a group of photographers and we had an assignment, and I did my editing in 15 minutes, and I looked around and everyone was like really into their editing, and I was like, oh my gosh, should I be doing more? And then it was fine. You know, I was like, no, you know what you like, you know what you wanted, and you know how to like produce that, so you can stick with it. It's okay.
Right. Even though I've got some pre-questions all formed out, I'm going to jump around a bit. Recently, you participated in the Adobe Photo Jam.
Yeah.
And I know that Maya participated with you in a mm-hmm. sense. Mm-hmm. Can you talk about that project a little bit and talk about the image that you ended up creating and submitting?
Okay. So I didn't want to do it because I knew I would have to compete, which is really intimidating to me. I'm not a very competitive person. And with my art, I'm not really, I don't mind sharing it, but it's feels different sharing it on that like scale. And so the assignment was you get the assignment the day of, and you have X amount of hours to shoot, then you have X amount of hours to edit. And then, you know, there were speakers, and then they showed our photos, and that was the other thing. I had to go up and describe my photo, and it was, I have terrible stage fright, and so it was like, oh no, I can't do it, and I did it, and it was fine. But the week before, I think it was when Sandra Bland had been arrested and then killed, and so I already had told myself, whatever assignment I have, I'm going to focus on black women. Like, I will bring it back to black women. Like, if I'm going to have a platform, like, I'm going to use it to build up and celebrate and uplift black women. And so the word was natural, or it's only natural. And, you know, first I thought about natural hair. And I was like, we did that. We've done that. I was like, I want to think of something more that, like, kind of brings up a conversation. And it's not always natural for black women in spaces. And so that was kind of, I was like, how do I capture that? So, you know, I tried different things, and the last photo that we got was in the middle of a street. And we had all commented on all these white men crossing the street and how everyone stopped for them and no one thought twice, even though they wouldn't use the crosswalk, and they, you know, we didn't need to stop for them. And we had this, while I'm taking these photos and I'm with like these three, four other black women, and we're talking about the way that that white men take up space and hold space. And I was like, how do we do that? And I was like, that's what I want to capture. I was like, stand in the middle of the street. People are upset. My children are running up and down the street barefoot. And I'm like, I don't care. I have to get the shot. And I was like, I want you guys to stand there and be powerful and to act like this is a natural thing. Like, we do this all the time, because we don't. And as women, we shrink ourselves. And as black women, we're almost invisible. And I was like, we will be visible. And there are people, they were so mad and they were so confused. And I was like, I don't even care. And then we got this shot and it was like, it was perfect.
Nice. Another reason why I'm glad you're here is at some point I was going to ask Margaret about the conversation that she has with her subjects. And I don't mean just conversation as far as words, but the exchange of ideas and emotions that is eventually demonstrated in the photograph. You can talk to that a bit. What was it like, or what was the rapport that was built up in this busy inner city street that could be distilled into this image?
Well, just like Margaret said, with the Sandra Bland things happening, we were all just upset. We were all down. We were all just distraught and just not feeling comfortable with ourselves at all whatsoever. And I feel like we all really said that without really even saying anything. We're all just in that mood. And we're just like saying stuff like, why they can just cross street whenever and not have any regard. And just like, but why can't I do that? Why can't I feel comfortable doing that? So it was really nice. It was fun at first. It was just like, we're doing this. But it was like, no, wait, let's actually do this, because right. It feels amazing. And we need to do this for ourselves. It's about time that we feel comfortable in our own skin and where we are, especially with what happened with Sandra Bland and everything. But I feel like that was really what made it happen, was the fact that we were all down without even saying anything to each other, even talking about it. We're just like, wow.
Now, I've seen the picture and it's incredible. All the women are backlit. It's natural lighting. You're right there in the middle of like the Pearl District, like 13th between like Flanders and Everett, yeah. I think it was. And there was a sense of motionless. Everybody's feet were planted. Their arms were at their sides. Yet there was also a sense of potential energy.
Yeah.
And energy that was shared amongst these women. And that's something that I've always been drawn to with photography and filmmaking, is the ability to capture a moment and to have that moment become timeless. Mm-hmm. And to be able to extend that moment to other people who weren't there physically at the moment, but to be able to witness it, a moment that they couldn't have been an actual party of. Mm-hmm. How does that thought translate into your portrait photography? Because there's a lot of intimacy. I mean, there's a lot of weddings, families, kids, young, old. What are the moments that you're looking to capture?
I like the small moments. I really like the ones that we kind of skip over ourselves, that we don't see as big. I like the moments where people are really close to each other, right? Just having like a conversation or looking each other in the eye because they love them. Just like a touch that you automatically give to someone that you love. Those are things that I really like, because I think I like capturing them as a way to like hold that moment in time and always have it. But it's that moment that you always repeat, but without knowing that you're doing it. And then you have this like physical image of it that you can keep going back to, and you can like remember this like tiny moment in time. You know, I think that my favorite emails I get back after I like take wedding photos are like, I didn't realize that like we had this one moment, or that my mom hugged me here because it was such a blur. But yeah, I really focus on really intimate close-up, like small details. Those are just the things that I pick up throughout my day when I just sit and watch people. You know, it's like, it's my pastime, watching people like each other or not, you know?
Right. So let's talk a little bit about Brushfire Creatives.
Okay.
How does this endeavor fit into the narrative that is Margaret Jacobson's life?
Okay. Well, I think how it fits in is it was kind of born out of this need and desire to gather around other black people, to create and to uplift, and to, instead of begging for space to be made for us at a table, to create that space ourselves, to be like, okay, when you say diversity, you find the one person of color that you bring in. And then you're like, that's good, guys. Be happy. And instead we're saying, no, it's not good enough. So Brush Fire was kind of this thing that came out of, we had a gathering and we're like, let's take this further. Let's make this into an entity that stands on its own, that encourages creatives and creativity, but also gets us at larger tables to start and have these conversations and to challenge people. So when people come to us and, you know, we're a creative agency and they're like, we want you to create this thing. We're like, all right, we're going to push it as far as we can. Have all people of color. You know, we're here to consult you and actually tell you what we would like, as opposed to basing it off of a stereotype that's been kind of repeated on and on. And broadening it, you know, not just working with the same people in town, but there are so many people that, like, I don't think we even knew existed in this city, making beautiful, wonderful stuff until we kind of started this, and then these connections happened. And you're like, what? And so for me, I would consider myself someone who is an activist who really cares about Black women and Black people in general. And this fits in with that and kind of where I am headed in my life, where I want to keep broadening my platforms, and I want to keep this conversation going, and I'm not going to back down because people are uncomfortable or are getting tired of hearing it, because I'm still a Black woman and you're still a Black man and you're still a Black woman and we're still here and we still have things we want to do. And so Brush Fire is about making that space. Like, we are creating it. We're not going to wait around or try to fit in to the space that was created for white people. We're just going to make our own space. Right. And that's, we're carving it out.
It's funny. I can't help but think about social media today, giving us some really concrete reminders of how Black women have been doing this for decades, for centuries. Earther Kitt, heck, I could think of, you know, Zora Neale Hurston. I mean, there's been so many Black women who have been using arts and culture to create space, not so much for everybody, but for themselves and their family, and how that family expands. Maya, how has, you know, your creativity been a part of this process within your own activism?
With Curl Portland, when I started the Instagram page, just having people here have a page to go to just to say, like, oh, there's some curly hair, and it's being acknowledged here in Portland. It was just a pretty white city. We both know that. So that was, like, the first thing. So just trying to use that, I'm like, okay, so there's a window, an opening for that. Like, there's nobody else doing or really broadcasting naturally or broadcasting curly hair as a very positive thing. It's kind of just like, oh, it's cute. But no, it's just more than just hair. And just using that and saying, oh, well, maybe they need products. Maybe they need events. Maybe they need, you know, parties where they feel like this is okay for me to feel this way. It's not just you know, face-to-face, just seeing hair is deeper than that. I mean, you know, hair goes way back into slavery, back to tribes in Africa. It goes way back before, you know, the trend of natural started about 10 years ago. It goes back way before that. So just using that and just seeing what I can do with that, people feel comfortable, have fun with it, and also just wear it high. Just, you know, and because even though it's hair, it's everything. It's yeah. Everything.
I've got a 15-year-old daughter who is... has been on the fence of natural process straight, natural mm-hmm. process rate. And but I have to say, I've got to give her props and a lot of the women coming up that they feel comfortable having the conversation amongst themselves and not feeling that it's being foisted upon them by one side or the other.
Yeah.
Where they're more media savvy. They say, yeah, I can see what's going on Disney TV and I can see what's happening in Empire and I can see what's happening around the corner. And by being able to identify each of those different streams of information, they're making more conscious choices.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. Because I feel like in the past, I mean, for me growing up, no, it was your hair is bone straight or your hair is kind of crap. Like, if that's the only option, you straighten or you have crappy hair. And it's like, well, don't want crappy hair, so I'm going to go with the straight hair. And like you said, the kids are more conscious now. They have all these shows coming up, all these, you know, young celebrities who are just like being them and flaunting themselves in all of their natural yumminess, and kids are loving that, and they're just like, yes, and they're making more conscious decisions, like you said, and that's awesome.
Yeah, no, it really is. So that's a good point. you know, like I mentioned, I've been a filmmaker and photographer in the past, and I've always been struck how subjective these mediums are, especially because of their archival nature. People think, oh, I take a picture and I'm getting exactly what you see. But in reality, you're projecting a lot of your own self-image through that photo. What threads or themes, now that you've been doing this a while, are you starting to see? You know, what's starting to leap out at you as, oh, this is my aesthetic. These are the choices that I'm making, even unconsciously, that I can only witness now that I can see a body of work.
Light. I really, really love finding light. And I love the challenge of having very little light, because I'm like, okay, how can I work with this tiny bit of light? But I will find it, and it's just a part of, like, what I create. I think that, like, if you would look at my work, that's kind of the consistent thing that you see. There's always just so much light coming through. And I think that for me is like a hope thing. Like, I think what I do is I kind of project hope into the photos that I'm taking. Even if they're really sad or dark or like depressing, there's still this bit of hope. And I think that that's just a reflection of like who I am. And I'm someone who, you know, suffers from anxiety and like depression, but I also have a lot of hope. I'm a pretty hopeful person. And so when I look at my work, which I do sometimes to remind myself that I'm doing okay in life, I go through and I'm like, oh, well, that's happy. Okay, that's good. And yeah, I see this like consistent like light. And the other thing I would say is just like connection and love. Those are kind of big things for me. Just how everyone is kind of connected in one way or another. And if you look like at my portfolio, even if the families look different, they're not different. There's this thing that exists that, I mean, you can't just be like, okay, love exists everywhere, it's all perfect and fine, but it does in this way. And without even being like, we don't have to talk about it or say it, you can just like see it. And that's kind of what I like capturing.
So Maya, I have seen quite a few pictures of you on her feed and Instagram. What has it been like for you to be in that orbit, you know, to be, you know, to realize that this is being archived, this is being documented, this is being preserved, not just you, but a friendship, being part of a community, being part of a crew.
It's really nice. I hate taking pictures. I never really enjoyed it. I kind of regret it now, because when I was younger, I wish there was more pictures of me growing up and stuff. So I really enjoy it. I like looking back and saying, oh, remember that day we did that together?
And now Maya actually suggests that we take pictures every time we hang out.
Let's do this. I know. I do like it. I like, you know, going back and seeing the memories and seeing, you know, connecting back to how it made you feel, because that's something I just am not used to doing, because I hate pictures so much. But I'm thankful that she got me into doing that now. It's really nice.
Right.
You're welcome.
Well, it's funny. I'm going to throw something out there. I was having a debate with a friend a little while ago talking about kids and social media. And the thought came up was, when do children get license over their own image, over the, how they perceive themselves? And how much do we as parents, as we love and exult in them and their love for us, Where do you think that time is going to happen for your kids in particular, or for my kids? I mean, at what point do the kids say, wow, now that I'm getting my own social media presence, granted, I can't tell you what platform they're on these days.
Right?
You know,
I don't know either. I don't know what all those little words they
say.
Yeah.
They're not words.
Zackabracka?
No. Zackabracka.
Dabba dabba.
What does this say about us? I don't know. I used to be hipping with it. Well, I will say that my daughter already is like, are you going to post that? And I try to get some type of permission. Sometimes I'm like, no, I'm not going to post it. But you're so cute. You know? Or she'll be like, post this picture. Put it on your Instagram. You know? And so I'm trying to start at this age, because I have no idea what it's going to be like by the time. I don't even know when you give your child a phone. Like, how I was maybe 14, but we didn't have Instagram. Like, we had maybe texting.
$700 phones?
Yeah. And my dad
was
always
on it
like,
don't be on it before 9 o'clock.
No. Exactly. No. And I thought texting you know, being my, like, 14-year-old self, I was like, you could just send tons of messages. My dad was like, nah. No, you cannot.
Get 100 a month.
By the letter.
Yeah.
By the letter.
Good luck. I have watched a lot of my friends who have older kids kind of navigate the social media. And I think there's this whole generation of children who have grown up and have had to kind of figure it out, like, on their own, because their parents kind of were a little bit before social media took off, and then they came, like, after, and so it's like they were the guinea pigs of do not bully people, you know, like, on Instagram, don't tweet these things, don't put this information out there, and it's, I think that I'd like to try to hold off for as long as possible with letting my children kind of take hold of their own persona on the internet. Like, I don't even know what you say about it.
It's just weird. And then, go ahead.
No, I think that it also kind of makes me pause when I'm sharing stuff about them because, like you're saying, these things are archived. Like, my kids are going to be able to hashtag themselves and there's going to be 700 photos of their just doing whatever, and I don't know how that's going to make them, like, feel. So I try to be aware of that, but you probably know because you have a teenager.
Yeah, if older.
I do.
And you have teenage siblings.
Yeah, right. Yeah. But in all fairness, since I'm a non-custodial, I mean, we kind of had an agreement early on that, and that was, you know, her mom was like, you know, I don't want you putting pictures of her on Facebook online. Yeah. And if I ever do put a picture, it's usually us together instead of her by herself.
Yeah.
So that's whenever I get to see her is when we're together. So that's kind of the filter that's gone through. So where can people see your work? I mean, you any gallery spaces? No. You got any projects coming up?
I have some projects coming up.
Okay. You got an online presence. How can people see your work?
Yes, I have a large online presence. Instagram, Facebook. I think that's about it. Sometimes I tweet, but it's not as funny as I like think it is. You know, I want to be funny on Twitter, and I'm not.
Gotcha.
But I'm trying. So mostly that. But I am attempting to put together an art show that focuses on Black women by Black artists, so males and females. But the whole focus is photos, drawings, paintings, performance pieces that celebrate Black women as these strong, beautiful, powerful, you know, beings, as opposed to kind of, oh, and we included a Black woman in this, you know, but it's like, it's in celebration of Black women.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, let me know whenever that's ramping up. Wow. I'd be more than happy to spread the word on Art Focus. Cool. Let people know if you've got a call for artists or what have you. Before we get going, I want to definitely thank our guests, Maya and Margaret, for joining us
today.
Thank
you. thank you.
Our fade out music is coming up. Great. Well, that's all for this week's Art Focus. I want to thank our engineer, Janet Anderson, and all the KBOO volunteers and staff that make this program possible. Before I sign off, though, I want to give a couple of shout-outs just because. I got to give a lot of love to the Rosewood Initiative out in East Portland. Jenny Glass and her crew are doing some great work in East County in their efforts to create safe and creative spaces for young and old. Find them online to learn how you can help out. Young audiences of Portland, of Oregon and Washington, have scholarships available for a variety of workshops for teaching artists. Visit www.ya-or.org to get all the details. APANO, the Division Midway Alliance, and the Day District are looking for applicants for our Resident Artist Collaborative Project. They're looking to provide small grants to use to engage the community through art. Anyone that lives in the East Portland area is eligible to apply. If you have any questions, please email luanne@apano.org. That's luanne@apano.org. You can find photos, links, as well as all the guest info on our show page at www.kboofm.com/artfocus. Please follow the link to our Facebook page and like us. All the likes, the better. If you missed any part of today's show, there will be a podcast of this entire show online later today on our show page at KBOO FM or on our Facebook page, KBOO Art Focus. As you know, it's my goal to meet and introduce the listeners of KBOO to a broad spectrum of regional artists. If you're a visual artist in any medium, I'd love to have you or your organization on our show. It's also my goal to share information relevant to artists as well. When I learn about residencies, grant deadlines, call for artists, you'll hear about them here, as well as see it on our Facebook page, KBOO Art Focus, once again. Thank you for listening to this episode of Art Focus Radio on KBOO, Portland, Oregon. Take care and peace. Much love.